gentlemen, I'd like to call the Osage Minerals Council regular meeting Friday, December 7th, 2018. Call it to order. I'd like to ask everyone to rise. I'm going to ask Brother Councilman Red Eagle to say our prayer and reading of our deceased. Sean Kerr.
Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. Thank you for the seasons, Father. Bless all those that are not here today, Father, those that are bereaved at this hour.
Yeah.
All those that are not well today, Father. Bless all their soldiers and enlisted men on your armed services, wherever they are, Father, and bring them home safe. Watch over them, Father. Again, I thank you for this day. Bring our lives together. Bring us together so the benefit of our people, benefit of our people, our children, Father, and grandchildren, and great grandchildren, Father, the future of our mineral estate. Give us strength today, Father, in our minds and all of our, Father, physical cells, our mental, spiritual, like that, Father. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Reading of our deceased.
Reading of our deceased, Osage Indian, present time, Shirley Maloney, October 6, 2018, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Mary H. and Mary M. Hempel, October 11, 2018, Los Angeles, California. Dennis L. Fraser, November 3, 2018, Parsons, Kansas. Anita Kilcrease, November 14, 2016, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Mary Baresh, November 15, 2018, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Louis Dryman, November 16, 2018, Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Philip B. Harrison, November 13, 2018, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ruth Doherty, May 20, 2018, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And James N. Guerin, November 21, 2018, Clamore, Oklahoma. May they rest in peace.
Oh, boy. Thank you. Could I have a roll call, please?
Councilwoman Foreman?
Here.
Councilwoman Gray?
Here.
Councilwoman Harlan?
Here.
Councilman Redcorn?
Here.
Councilman Red Eagle?
Here.
Councilman Rebar?
Present.
Chairman Waller?
Here.
Second Chair Yates?
Present.
We have a quorum.
With that, I'd like to do a little housekeeping. I had a council call me about, did you need to move some items on the agenda, Councilman Red Eagle?
Yes, sir.
Did you need to move them up to this point? I know that another councilman will have to leave early today.
That's your request. That's your request.
I'm all right with it. Which one would you like to move up?
The newsletter, sir. Newsletter, bro.
Would you please take care of that at this time?
Sure. On the newsletter, we had a committee meeting, and we discussed other items, but the main item I thought was the newsletter that we've come up with. I felt like myself that it was, we need to reach out to the people. And we haven't done that yet in 2018. 2019 is coming up, and we decided in committee meeting by vote to send out a news bulletin, one page news bulletin, to all the sheriffs, which are around 5,000. And we voted on it, and in committee, I want to make a motion at this time to bring it to the full council for a vote. Four times a year, during payment time. It would be March the 1st, June the 1st, September 1st, and December the 1st. At that time, in December of 2019, we'll reevaluate it at that time, rehash it, review it, and look at it, see what it looks like. If the people are satisfied with it, we might stick with it.
And also in conjunction with the website, put it on there.
In conjunction with the website and the emails that we have and all the names that we have so far. So that's what we decided to be. I want to make a motion at this time to take to the full council for a vote to accept this motion and propose it four times a year to reach out to the people.
We haven't done that yet, and I felt like we needed to do that.
I have a motion on the floor.
I'll second.
I have a motion on the floor, Councilman Red Eagle, second by Councilman Revard. Any discussion? Councilwoman Harland.
That did come in on committee, on the media and IT committee, and I absolutely agree with Councilman Red Eagle that we need to do a newsletter. However, what I can't agree on is sending one page, one single sheet of paper, four times a year, at the cost that it'll be. We're not telling them anything in one sheet of paper. You're gonna include the mailing place for it. Even if you put it in an envelope, you only have two sides. That's, I mean, as I said in the committee meeting, I get more of my church bulletin every week than that. So I would be against this resolution and ask for us to, yes, send out a newsletter, but not four times a year. I think we should do a substantial newsletter twice a year. That tells the folks how we would update it. And so I'll be voting against this one and would like to make a motion if this one fails.
Yes, ma'am. Councilwoman Gray.
When we were in committee, and not that I'm against putting a newsletter out, I'm more leaning towards, we did discuss in our strategic plan doing an annual report, putting our money into that. I know that we have, we discussed putting an ad in the Osage News. Didn't have to be a full page, could be like a quarter page. And if you're interested in getting your newsletter by mail, or would you like to get an online or email version? Number one, it's cost effective. Number two, it's still, you know, it's doing what we want to do, is reach out to our shareholders. And third issue that we have is we only budgeted this year. We all approved a budget back in September. And that line item, and everyone looked at the budget, we had $4,500 in that. And what he is proposing four times a year would be, you know, a little under $20,000. We would have to make an amendment. So before we can vote on that, we gotta make sure we got the money in that place in order to do that. And I'm just gonna confer with Lacey, is that how it was $4,500 in that line item? So we would have to move some money around.
Councilman.
Thank you, Chair. All that, in third, when I came on, we were like, I thought we ought to go to a monthly newsletter, and we had a hard time getting newsletters out third mineral council. So after it was all kind of said and done, I guess I learned my lesson. I think the old way of doing things, quarterly, was probably the best. It's used to, we know how to do it. Less successful, I guess, in second, you know, I just think we ought to just kind of get back to that old plan and just move forward with it. And I'm saying that being guilty, I thought we could have a monthly, but trying to get the mineral council and get enough information in it, then it became, we sent two out immediately, then we didn't send one out for another 6 months, then we'd get in big debates on approving it out the door. I mean, it was just a plethora of problems. So going back, my experience, I think I'll just stick with the original. I'm going to support Mr. Brady with the motion.
Councilwoman.
I too am going to support Mr. Brady's motion. As Councilwoman Gray has told us many times, we can adjust, make adjustments to the budget. And we have on the agenda today, we have a rather large expense item that I don't believe is necessary, so I'm going to support Councilman Redcorn's.
Yes, Councilman Red Eagle can second you by Councilman Redcorn. Any other discussion, please?
Talk for a question.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, please.
We're going to send a newsletter one page out four times a year to our newsletter list or to?
Also, I'll share.
Osage Annuitants. That's exactly what Councilwoman Gray brought up.
I didn't hear her question.
Where are we gonna get the Mazeska?
Yeah.
Well.
Why don't we go back? Can I say something?
It actually has been called for.
Okay, well.
Councilwoman Foreman?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gray?
No.
Councilwoman Harlan?
No.
Councilman Redcorn?
Yes.
Councilman Reddickel?
Yes.
Councilman Rebar?
Yes.
Chairman Waller?
No.
Second Chair Yates?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Four newsletters. Okay. Thank you, brother. With that, I'd like to go on to the item on the agenda, number four, under new business, AB&B challenges in the field. Mr. Scott DeShawna.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Morning.
My cohort in crime here, Mr. Knapp, we want to talk about, I guess what we're working on today, together with all of us working on American Radio. Excuse my voice a little bit, I'm struggling. So, last year, I guess technically it's 2018, July 28th, the season began, we did a number of different studies. Mr. Middick, who is also here, did that work for us. And nearly 80% of those studies were positive studies. So a positive test, literally, at this moment in time, prevents us from doing any drilling whatsoever. Fall, first half of next year, the earliest part of the season that we can once again go and look for the beetle, now becomes May, without mitigation, which we have been working on some mitigation work. But before I go much further, Bob's going to talk a little bit about the actual cost for a typical well that we've done. We did about 30 wells this year. A typical well cost, so for every 10 wells, what it actually cost the tribe, not the producer, but the tribe in interest, in mineral interest cost over the first 5 years of its life.
Please do.
Mr. Chairman, can we put a time limit on this? Because, I mean, I think that we're going to get information we probably already have. I would just ask if we could put a time limit on these presentations.
May I?
Councilwoman.
I have instructed our speakers that they have a 7 to 10 minute time window.
Thank you.
We'll take us long enough.
Thank you. Mr. Knapp.
What we've been asked to do is try to present to the council and illustrate the cost in terms of royalties for wells that are not drilled due to positive surveys. And we as Scott said last fall, and actually I think it's more like 87 or 88%, and I presented that to the council, as you mentioned previously, in terms of Mark Short and Rob Martin, ourselves, and several other operators in that area that encountered positive surveys and could not drill wells. My guess is about 40, from talking to those operators and ourselves, was about 40 wells that were planned that could not be drilled because of these positive surveys. And Scott has asked me to present to you the fact that on an average well in Osage County, and I'm using a well that produces about 16,000 to 18,000 total recoverable reserves per well, on an average, 10 to 15 barrel a day IP type well, that's about, every 10 wells is about $520,000 in royalties the first year, about $262,000 in royalties the second year. All total in 5 years, every 10 years, they've got $1.2 million in royalties that would not be paid to the Newtons because of our inability to drill these wells. And I think, as we pointed out previously, in the West Blackland case, we did drill 10 wells, and this year in 2018, royalties paid on those is about $600,000. So it kind of goes in line with what we're presenting.
So, Ms. Foreman, the question was specifically, how many dollars for these 40 wells that weren't drilled? It's nearly $4.5 million that you will not receive over the next 5 years. Specifically, that's the number. until we can do it. We have lots more questions we can answer, anything else, but until we can get those 40 done, that's $4.5 million you're not gonna get. And that's for every 10, it's $1.5 million. And we all know that we're trying to fight declines. That's what you're seeing every third Wednesday of the month. We're seeing those declines. So we just wanted to be real specific, and that was your question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilwoman.
I didn't get a chance to introduce anyone. I just wanted the council to know that the reason I gathered these men here is because they have information we do not know. They have options for us that we have not explored in the last 8 years. And there are alternatives to dealing with this American Dairy Beetle, and we have to inform ourselves about it. That was one of the most stark things I've ever heard, and we have to stop that. And our next speaker is Steve Peek with Mr. Fred Storer. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Danny Sicking,
who is... David, would you like me to go on the agenda?
He's just come off of the of a lawsuit trying to delist the American Dairy Beetle, and I asked him to give us an update.
Thank you. Mr. Sicking?
I'm Jamie Sicking. I'm an attorney. I'm on the board of directors for the OTA Producers Association. And as such, we were contacted by a group of people a couple of years ago, actually an oil and gas company called Crown Quest. And they have various affiliations with different groups. And one of those is called the American Stewards. And they were the lead on this lawsuit. And they wanted us to join them because they know we have bug problems. So we participated in this lawsuit with them and the Independent Producers Association of America. So they wanted to file it in the Eastern District of Oklahoma. They were driving the boat, so to speak, on that. So we said, okay, we hopped on. But the lawsuit was interesting in that the law says if you ask about delisting an endangered species, they have 90 days to review the endangered species and say, hey, no, it needs to be here. And the American Stewards sent a petition saying, hey, we need to look at the bug and get this American Beetle off the list. It sat for a year and nobody responded to it. So they wrote a letter and they said, hey, we need to know, it's been a year. Answer our question about the bug. And they wrote back and said, hey, we know what the statute says, but we're too busy dealing with people who sue us, so we can't deal with you. So that was in April of 2017. In August of 2017, they continued to pay lip service to us through that 4-month period. And then it became evident that they weren't going to do anything. So we sued them. And at that point, it had been 2 years since we'd said, hey, what about delisting this bug? You're supposed to give us an answer within 90 days. And they said, we'll get to you. Well, here we are now, a year later. They still haven't just taken another look at the bug. It's just not on their radar. But as far as our lawsuit goes, they gave us a date of April 2019. They will have us an answer by then. And it was, you know, particularly frustrating given the nature of the time limit set out by the statutes. But at the same time, when you're dealing with Department of Interior people, and all they have to do is come back and say, we decided it's still endangered, and then you lose all your teeth. So they came to us and were like, look, we can do this the right way and maybe give you the relief that you're looking for if you give us time. And the Department of Justice people, the lawyers that represent the Department of Interior people, who represent Fish and Wildlife, were trying to work with us as best, I think, as they could, and kind of forewarning us that, hey, what you don't want is to force their hand and have them hurt you for it, or delist the bug, but then still say, hey, it's not endangered, but it's protected. And then they get to set other protections out for you. So there is a bit of you have to kind of play nice even when you don't want to, especially in our position as oil and gas producers, we don't have, people don't hear a lawsuit and feel sorry for an oil and gas producer. They're, oh, those poor guys, you know.
No crime in politics.
Nobody really worries about whether or not the oil man's getting hurt. But we will, we should have an answer with maybe a delisting opportunity in April. We'll see what really happens. However, that being said, it was interesting to know that they said, hey, we don't have time to deal with you. We can only deal with the people who sue us. We can't obey the rules until we're sued, which is, you know, that's kind of what we've seen here on other matters. That we're going to do what we want until somebody makes us do something different. And with that being said, I think you guys have a unique position apart from the old man. When someone's going to listen if you guys say, you're hurting us, you're violating the law when you're doing it, and we've asked you to stop over and over and continue to do it. So here we are in court. I mean, you guys have a unique position, you have a louder voice, and you garner a lot more attention, positive attention. And so something for you all to consider.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, please? Councilwoman Gray.
Where are you located at?
I'm in Tulsa.
In Tulsa? Okay, so then obviously you're very familiar with our situation here.
Yes, well, I was part of the, we sued the Department of Interior over the rains.
Right.
And I was part of that.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just saying this for basically for the audience is that, you know, everyone's familiar with our borders of Osage County. we have two other entities that get a categorical exclusion. We get the Bureau of Land Management for the horses, for the ranchers. And then on the wind farms, they got a categorical exclusion.
For the bald eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then here we are. And it has devastated our industry.
And there's
exactly.
Let her finish. You're an attorney.
Yeah. So, I didn't want to hear what your opinion is on that. Even though next week we were going to be covering in depth this issue right here, the American Bearing Bird Beetle. So.
Well, there's a secretarial 3206 in it. Addresses the Endangered Species Act and how it's applied. And it basically says, in no way should this Endangered Species Act be applied in a way that it unfairly affects Native American people. And that's exactly what's happening.
Say that again, can you explain
this? Yes, ma'am. It essentially says that the Endangered Species Act shall not be used to unfairly impact Native American people. And what's interesting for you guys?
Counselor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, whenever you're ready.
I want to go right ahead.
The interesting thing is, Fish and Wildlife has districts all over the country, and you can expect there to be a uniform application of bug protection across the United States. But that's not the case. In fact, Arkansas gets an automatic take if you want to drill a well in Arkansas. You get 1.5 acres or 1.3 acres. In Kansas, you automatically get 3 acres if you're drilling a well. You don't have to worry about the bug as long as your footprint's going to be under a certain size. But the Oklahoma or Tulsa Office of Fish and Wildlife, which sets the rules for Osage County, says no take, no bug, not one. And you have to jump through the hoops that we set out. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with how hard it is to pass the bug test, but it is some crazy stuff that they can tell you as far as if the temperature or if the wind blows too hard, you gotta start over. If it rains, you gotta start over. Oh, you can only test for at least three months of the year. And if you don't get it's killing you.
Can I follow up with another question?
Yes, ma'am.
That it goes along with this. I want to give time to my colleague. I understand somewhat of all of the temperature and all that. Again, I go back to the two other entities that have categorical exclusions, and those horses are stomping all over those little beetles right now as we speak, and then the wind farms are still turning, and they are impacting. So why is it? What are the steps? Because we continue to have the same circle talk all day long. And so
I'm going to have to go back to that's.
I think you've led us down to the question you said, well, you're in a great position to do
something,
to sue.
Okay, but it comes back to Fish and Wildlife, in their response, told us that they intend to prioritize court-ordered actions regardless of what the Environmental Species Act statutory deadlines and guidelines are. They're not going to, they don't have time to mess with someone who doesn't sue. And that's.
Or maybe this is just they don't have time for you.
Maybe. But, that's entirely possible. But as Councilmember Gray said, you guys have been asking about this, and they're not doing anything about it. And interesting on that horse deal, that tape was paid for by the Department of Interior. It wasn't even paid for by the guys who were running the horses. The Department of Interior, and they sold them that tape for a dollar an acre. And they're trying to sell us those beetle squares for
$22,300.
And then they tell us they're sold out.
That are unavailable now.
Thank you for answering that. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Chair. I've gotten calls from our people that depend on this check. And some of them, this is the only piece of real income that's coming in their home.
Both ways.
What you're just saying is this barrel that we're missing out. Thank you, Ms. Foreman, for pointing that out. Because each $1 million is $500 for headlight for paint that they're going to miss out on for that one tour of paint and tears are shed by these native women. But they cannot pay their bills. But we know we've got real estate that can bring in a lot more money and help them pay their bills, pay their electric bill, get their groceries. But it's not happening because, in my view, the Bureau is working against the Indian, the Native American. In my view, if any white man comes out here and wants to start whatever, they're going to rush to help them with the categorical exclusion and get them moving on whatever they want to do, except for the engine. They're going to ensure that all these federal steps are met. And it just bothers me that they can do that and still look at me and tell me they're working for me. So I'm very disappointed, Chairman.
Yes, sir.
And I thank Mrs. Foreman and Mr. Gray for pointing those important things out. We've got to move strongly and swiftly. I mean, I understand you have an interest here, but our interest is our shareholders, and we've got to get that money rolling and revenue going, especially in this climate. When if you're going to drive a car, you need gas. I don't know why we want to go to Iran for it, or some country in Africa when we can get it right here and get everybody working. And we have a lot of natives that are involved in the oil and gas and farming their own land. This is Oklahoma today. These are our people that are out there moving into oil and gas during the agriculture. So I agree with you. I think somehow we've got to come together forcefully and get this thing done. Thank you, Chairman.
Councilman.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Jamie, I have a question. Are you suggesting that we join your group as a plaintiff against the Department of Interior? Are you suggesting that we file our own suit? And if so, what claim, what point of law or statute would we be going after to remedy this?
That's a good question. I'm suggesting that you guys be your own entity. You don't want to get your voice lost in ours. And our case is kind of stayed until April anyway. It's actually settled. I mean, in the way that the settlement was structured against my better judgment, but I wasn't driving. We agreed to dismiss the case, and they promised they'll get back to us April 2019. So, we'll see. My suggestion for you all is suing yourself and you sue them under an equal protection claim.
Equal protection.
Because you're not getting, and you bring up that secretarial order 3206 that I mentioned, that says, hey, you're not, you're violating this, which isn't, a secretarial order is not exactly a law, but it's saying this is a guideline you're supposed to follow.
Thank you.
And you say you're not following that, you're hurting us, and how is it possible that the rest of the country has the most, more lax, we have the strictest penal policy in the country. And we have all the gas
prices. In the world.
Well, and so, right, nobody else cares about the meals in the world. So you can, you know, harp on that. Say, how's this fair? How's this fair to the Osage? And, you know, it's not, in short, it's not. And so you go for an equal protection claim, and that would be my first thrust out of the gate.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Right. Councilwoman.
Just last one question. You know, according to the order of 3206 of the Secretary, that it would have to be the Osage Nation that would do that. It can't be us. Correct?
Well, I don't have the order in front of me, but in my opinion, we've already made strides. What was that head lawsuit? Was that the one where they said, look, if you're a member, one member has the right to sue, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
So, I mean, in my mind, I would fall back to that position and say, I have standing. I'm being harmed. And that would be my approach. And then if they kick you out, then you got to go see standing.
Well, we don't know how that feels. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Council.
Danny, this lady, the head of the Fish and Wildlife Service, does she have a term limit on her? How long she's ahead of that?
Are you referring to the lady who's head of the Tulsa office?
Yes.
I'd rather not field that. Pardon? I'd rather not field that question.
Yes, sir.
That's not up to you. That's up to us.
Okay.
Is that all right with everyone?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you. With that, I'd like to move on to the next.
Guys, I'm going to go ahead and
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank
you. Techno impact of the oil and gas industry. Can I take a 5-minute break and then we'll get set up to watch this? Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
He's gone.